Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, it is Friday. We are packed. I had an amazing night's sleep. It will be a great 3 hours live in Los Angeles. It's the Herd. Wherever you may be, however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1, Jake Paul, I'm into this kid. We'll be on the show later today. I'm into it. I like boxing and UFC to begin with. Jake Paul, I know he's a celebrity, but he can fight, and I'm into it. Joy, it is great to have you. We have today, it's funny. Some days, we get so many stories.
Yeah, there's so much going on today.
There is so much going on today. The NBA ended. We had about a day of swimming around topics, and today, we're packed.
There's the free agency and off-season rumors are flying, and trade possibilities. Got crazy NFL stories. There's a lot going on.
There is a lot going on. I want to start about this. This has been a theme of this show for the last several years. When in doubt in business, be aggressive. In business, maybe not in your personal life, maybe not with your family, but in business, when in doubt, be aggressive. Aggressive is winning. Tom Brady. And it can't be lost on the people of Milwaukee that humble Giannis is celebrating with his teammates. Tom Brady is celebrating with his teammates. Where's Aaron Rodgers? But I don't want to spend too much time on that to start the show. This is about Tom Brady, who had to pretend he was a robot in New England, now being able to be a little bit of a personality, little cocky, whatevs, talking yesterday about the teams that passed on him when he was available to the entire league.
Everyone's got a choice to choose. You know, I think what you realize is that there's not as many smart people as you think. You know, it's just a reality. I think it'd be a no-brainer if you said, you know, hey, you got a chance to get Wayne Gretzky on your team, or you get a chance to have Michael Jordan on your team. Oh, we don't need him. You know, no thanks. We're good. You know, I'm kind of thinking, okay, well, let me go show those teams what they're missing. And at the same time, let me go prove to the team that did bet on me.
Yes, he is Wayne Gretzky and he is Michael Jordan. And he's allowed to, for once, have an ego. He's right. Now, three teams I can confirm wanted Brady. The Chargers, the Buccaneers, and the 49ers. I've confirmed it with all three. Three teams, I can't confirm it, but I do believe, based on reports and people I trust, kick the tires. The Colts, the Raiders, and the Bears. The most fascinating one of all this, though, is not discussed. And it goes back to my belief that when in doubt, be aggressive. It's the Miami Dolphins. I want you to think about these five things. Brian Flores had faced Brady in practice for years. He was the Patriot defensive coordinator. He got the Dolphin job. He could have had him. Brady knows the division. It would have been the easiest transition. He knows all the players. Three, the starter for Miami was Ryan Fitzpatrick. Remember, this was pre-draft. Number four is Brady wanted to remain on the East Coast, and Miami is the warm weather destination on the East Coast. And, of course, five is Brady is just spiteful enough that he would have loved it. And they stuck with Ryan Fitzpatrick. The defense and special teams in Miami right now are absolutely good enough to win a Super Bowl. It all hinges on Tua. And because they only had the fifth pick in that draft, they weren't going to get Joe Burrow. Remember all the stories? We talked about it, Joy and I, multiple times. Cincinnati was not moving off the pick. Burrow was from Ohio. They were not moving off it. So you weren't getting Joe Burrow. You were getting Tua with, you know, the hip issue. Small Tua. And Josh Allen was already in Buffalo. So you knew in Miami what you had to do to win this division. Because Josh Allen was getting really good really fast. And Miami passed on Brady. And now they cross their fingers and pray that small, marginally athletic, average-armed Tua, who acknowledged he didn't really know the playbook last year, can overcome Josh Allen. All right. You can do everything right in the National Football League. Everything. If you do not get quarterback right, you are not relevant. Okay, Green Bay has done a lot of things not perfectly last 25 years, but they had Favre and Aaron Rodgers. They got a couple Super Bowls. That, to me, is fascinating. When Tom Brady says, yeah, some of these people aren't that smart, we all talk about all these teams. Miami could have made a run and had him. I believe that. You don't think he would have liked to have faced Belichick twice a year? Come on now. Come on now. You know he would have. And speaking of aggressive, I'd like to pivot to my second story of the day. It is now mostly official. Texas and Oklahoma, the move to the SEC, according to people I trust, at the Austin American-Statesman, Kirk Bowles, great reporter for years, it's a done deal, and the SEC was working on it for the last 6 months, and Texas didn't tell Texas A&M, and the SEC didn't tell anybody. Speaking of aggressive, this is why the SEC is the number one college football conference for 20 years running. At least 15, I'd say 20. They aggressively stole Nick Saban from the NFL. They just signed the most aggressive and lucrative TV deal. And now they've stolen Texas from the Big 12. It is what they do. Pac-12, shockingly, asleep at the wheel. I always said this about Dana White. Dana White and I, the guy that runs the UFC. Dana White, for 20 years, had to overcome states, lawyers, politicians. The story of the UFC, I mean, John McCain, the late John McCain, got him off cable television. He fought forever. He never stopped. He was hyper-aggressive. I watch almost every UFC card. Part of it, I like the sport. Second part of it is, I respect the sport. They were the first to go back in COVID. Oh, they were shouted down by the media. This is unsafe. He said, not with young athletes, and we'll make it safe, and I'll go rent an island. Aggressive wins. Passive in sports doesn't. Politically correct does not. If you're politically correct or passive, when the music stops, you will be left without a chair. It will not be easy for Texas, and I'm not sure it's the right thing to do. In the last 11 years, they've only been ranked in the top 10 14 times. I mean, good God, Michigan State's been in there 40. So I'm not sure it's the right move. But when I see these NBA free agency stories, there are two great players that are available in free agency. You can go get them. Bradley Beal and Dame. I'm going to bet that Golden State gets one of them. And I saw a story this morning. Warriors stars reportedly want team to trade picks to get Beal. Shocking. Warriors. Who was the team in the middle of the night that went and got KD? The Warriors. Sit back. Play to Twitter. Be politically correct. You will not win your sport. Tampa Bay, the most aggressive team, landed Tom Brady, got a Super Bowl. Lakers, good God, how many feathers did they ruffle with Anthony Davis? Say what you want. The league didn't like it. The Pelicans didn't like it. Agents didn't like it. A lot of people criticized AD kind of quitting on the Pelicans, and they got a championship. I'm not talking about your family. I'm not talking about always with your kids. I'm talking in business. When in doubt, be aggressive. NBA's got two stars. Be aggressive. Texas didn't tell the Texas schools. SEC didn't tell anybody. And by the way, I'm not telling you to be stupid. I mean, I'm not telling you to go out there and, you know, get into bar fights tonight and be aggressive over business deals. But if you start looking around at what is happening in sports, one side is winning. and it's the aggressive side. The NBA teams, the NFL teams, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the SEC, the UFC. If you're not making other people in business at least a little uncomfortable, you're doing it wrong. Coming up next, well, what do you know? We talked about it for the last 2 months, and now the story breaks. We'll talk about this coming up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Mercedes-AMG is driving performance. What's the difference between a skeptic and a believer with AMG? Well, go to mbusa.com/AMG and check it out. So, you know, there are a lot of times I talk about a story, I make calls on a story, I tweet about a story, and then boom, it gets reported months later. I take great pride in that. This is journalism. That's what Joy and I do. Boom, here's one. Yep. Dennis Schroeder of the Lakers and Kyle Kuzma feuded during the season. This is what I kept referring to throughout the course of the year. Schroeder is difficult. He was not great in the locker room. He frustrated teammates. The Lakers not only don't want to pay him, some of the guys just don't like him. Dennis Schroeder is 24 and is about to be on his fourth team. That's a problem when you're as talented as Dennis Schroeder because he's got talent. This Laker locker room was not great, I'm told. LeBron was frustrated with AD. Frank Vogel, who loves his bigs to be in shape, was frustrated with AD. Dennis Schroeder was driving everybody crazy, specifically, I guess, Kyle Kuzma. I'm told Frank Vogel is no guarantee to make it through the entire year next year. That's the kind of toxicity they were dealing with. This story is also important because yesterday I said there's this Westbrook rumor to the Lakers and the Chris Paul rumor. The Westbrook rumor is nonsense. Everybody says they want to play with him. He doesn't fit. He's expensive. It's over. He's not even a good version of Westbrook anymore. The Chris Paul rumors, although I don't believe they'll happen, and I don't necessarily think it's the best thing for Chris Paul, I prefer he stays in Phoenix, I do think you have to keep your eye on it because the sense is he would restabilize things. And this Laker locker room is not great right now. And never forget, this is what happens in LeBron's career when he doesn't win a title. 2010, he left the Cavs for the Heat. 2014, he left the Heat for the Cavs. 2016, he fired David Blatt, the head coach in Cleveland. 2017, he tried to get Kyrie Irving traded. 2018, he left the Cavs for the Lakers. 2019, blew out all the players, and they traded for AD. This, LeBron's favorite movie, is The Godfather. He loves Michael Corleone. You get whacked if you don't get business done. And you can go back to LeBron's career the last decade when he doesn't win a title. Big stuff happens virtually every year. And this past year was a mess. They were favored. AD wasn't in shape. It was a mess. So big stuff's coming. That's why it may be Dame. It may be Bradley Beal. I've said before, I would not be shocked if AD got traded. I would not. I don't think it'll happen, but the dude is not committed as much as LeBron is. I'll tell you, Dame and Bradley Beal are in the weight room all offseason. AD is increasingly hurt. Now, again, I'm not saying that's going to happen, but if LeBron doesn't win and it looks ugly and people start bailing on LeBron, big stuff happens. That's why you at least got to keep an eye on Chris Paul. I don't think it would be the best move for Chris, but you got to keep an eye on it a little bit. Joy with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
I missed that RoboCam from the bubble. I know you can't have it because you have fans on the sideline, but that was such a cool shot.
It was.
That one that like just tracked with everyone as they're going down the court.
I still think it's fascinating. It's one of the things, you know, life is full of change. Like a lot of Americans, as you and I know, struggle with change. Not having things go as they think they should go. If you'd have told me, yeah, they're going to play in a bubble, players will never leave, and they'll have virtual fans, and you'd be like, oh, that's going to be the stupidest thing ever. It actually worked on television.
After 1 week of watching games, I was completely used to it. I was like, this is how I've always watched it.
I've said this before. You can say what you want about all these leagues.
Yeah.
The NBA had it hit in the middle of the season. NFL got to sit there for 6 months and watch everybody's mistakes. NBA had it happen middle of the season. 3 months later, they unveiled the bubble. Folks, it's hard to make travel plans for a family and get it right. The whole damn league moved to Orlando.
And media. And staff.
And it worked.
It was amazing. Logistically, like one of the greatest feats I've ever seen.
The greatest feat of all. I mean, UFC bought an island, okay? That's two. But UFC is more controlled environment. You had coaches, teams, cities, players,
trainers,
food, staff. Yep. They took over Disney World. It's insane.
It is. All right. So deep breath, everyone. Big news came down yesterday. The NFL has informed each team that the 2021 season will not be extended to accommodate any games that have to be canceled due to a COVID-19 outbreak from unvaccinated players.
Unvaccinated.
If a team cannot reschedule during the 18-week season, the team will, with the outbreak, will forfeit and be credited with a loss for playoff seeding. Also, players on both teams will not be paid for the game, and the team responsible for the cancellation will cover financial losses and be subject to potential discipline. So a big question yesterday was, well, what happens if the vaccinated players test positive? So a vaccinated player or staff who test positive and are asymptomatic can return after two negative tests 24 hours apart.
Yeah.
For non-vaccinated people, it's the same as last year, which is a 10-day isolation period and multiple negative tests. So from the memo that Tom Pelissero posted yesterday, if a club cannot play due to a COVID spike in vaccinated individuals, we will attempt to minimize the competitive and economic burden on both participating teams. So pretty loud and clear.
Get vaccinated.
Get vaccinated from the NFL.
By the way, you get your occasional random players who are tough guys on Twitter. They've all deleted their tweets now, right? But the tough guys. Let me tell you this in America. Let me ask you a question. So you Americans, you 20% of Americans who won't get vaccinated, you say, I have my rights. Yes, you do. But the businesses don't have, Delta Airlines doesn't have rights. NFL doesn't have rights. The NBA, don't leave the bubble, doesn't have rights. Why is everybody on Twitter yelling, what about my freedom? What about my right? Well, what about the employer's rights? Fox, I walked in one day at Fox. We all had to wear masks. I got tested every other day. Fox doesn't have rights. I had rights. I didn't have to show up to work, but I didn't want to give my audience to my competitors. So Joy and I basically did a show from a closet for 3 months because I'm competing against all these other talk shows and all these other networks, and I didn't want to give up my audience to my competitors. So you're always screaming and yelling about your freedoms and your rights. Well, businesses have rights too. And if I think this thing is surging in America, which it is in certain states, the Delta variant. If it's surging, I'm going to get ahead of this thing and not play catch up, and I'm going to make some new rules. Your choices are now my rules.
Look, these billion-dollar organizations don't care about your feelings.
They don't care.
They don't care. That's always been the case. It will always be the case. If you don't like it, go make billions of dollars and make your own league. It's just as simple as that. What the biggest pushback yesterday was, what happened to freedom? You are free. Are you in jail? No. Are you being threatened with your life? No. You have a choice. You can go work anywhere else you want to.
Cole Beasley.
The NFL is not saying that you can't work anywhere. They're just saying you can't work for us. And they're actually not even saying that. They're saying if you don't get vaccinated and there's a problem, it's going to be on you. They're making it extremely difficult. They're not even actually saying that you can't play.
Businesses.
So this idea that you're not free is nonsense. You are absolutely free. You just probably have to go work somewhere else if you don't want to get vaccinated.
Businesses have rights too, not just employers. So you can go bark on social. What about my rights? What about Delta Airlines' rights?
You absolutely have a right. You have. It is absolutely your choice to get vaccinated.
You do not have to fly
it's
Delta Airlines.
It's literally a choice. Do it or don't. But just because you have rights and you have freedoms does not mean you are free from consequences. It's the same conversation that people always have about freedom of speech when somebody says something crazy and gets fired. What happened to freedom of speech? Are they in jail? Did the government just show up at their house and seize their home?
No.
They're free to say that, but they're not free from consequences. The NFL is a billion-dollar organization that's not going to accommodate everyone who wants to make their own personal choices.
That's right.
They never have for many things. You can't go out there and play without a helmet. You can't use whatever kind of substance you want to get on the field.
By the way, you have to wear a seatbelt driving. You don't even in America, you don't have total personal freedom in your car.
You know what makes me so mad about this story? Is I made a personal decision not to talk to people about what they're doing with the vaccine. I'm vaccinated. If you don't want to get vaccinated, that's your choice. Just don't tell me about it, because I have to only have intelligent people around me. And there's a good chance you're going to say something that's going to make me not be able to be cool with you anymore. And I would just prefer to remain ignorant to your personal choices.
Well,
and this yesterday forced me to have this conversation with people over and over and over again.
Yeah, I mean, I said before, you do have a right not to wear a mask on Delta Airlines, and you will not be able to fly it. And because it's the best airline in America, then you will fly an inferior airline or get in your
car. No, you can't fly any airline without a mask.
So get in your car and drive to Chicago from LA instead of fly.
Yeah.
You have a choice. Hitchhike. Drive your Tesla. Whatever you want to do.
You have a right to a road trip. So Aaron Rodgers is not the only Packer with an uncertain future in Green Bay.
Mm.
We are Milwaukee's finest
radio station. 97.5, Milwaukee's best rock right here.
So Davante Adams has reportedly broken off talks for a new contract with the Packers. Negotiations that have been ongoing, but both sides are said to be in a bad place, and there's no current plans on resuming talks. I don't know what that means.
I know what it means.
Training camp is next week. So the proposals reportedly didn't acknowledge Javonte as the highest paid wide receiver. So I don't know. Javonte came on our show in May and said that Aaron leaving Green Bay would possibly affect his future. He said we've established a lot together. It would change a lot. It doesn't mean I'd be gone, but I'd definitely have to do some extra thinking if my guy wasn't there.
If I'm Davante Adams and I'm at practice every day and I'm watching Jordan Love and I don't think he's the guy, then I'm not signing long-term either.
Not signing long-term, but also if I'm watching Jordan Love and he's not the guy, there's a potential that Aaron Rodgers is going to leave and I'm going to sign a long-term contract and you're not going to make me the highest paid wide receiver. That's a no for me. All around.
Yeah.
I have no guarantee that Aaron Rodgers is going to be the one throwing to me. I'm not going to be the highest paid wide receiver, and I don't know what Jordan Love is.
I don't even think it's the highest paid thing, because I think Devontae's a smart kid that's good with his money.
But if I'm going to stay there with an inferior quarterback, which either way, even if Jordan Love is competent, he's not going to be Aaron Rodgers.
Quarterbacks make wide receivers. It doesn't matter how good you are as a wide receiver. If you go look at Larry Fitzgerald's career numbers, they're better when he had a better quarterback. When Warner was there, when Carson Palmer was there, they were better numbers. So you are very beholden to your quarterback. Now, Davante would be good anywhere, but to be what he is, which is, in my opinion, he's the second best receiver in the league. And you can make an argument he's the... I mean, DeAndre Hopkins and him are go either way, guys. But this is all about, I'm Davante Adams. I'm at practice every day.
Yeah.
If I don't... I forget the money. If I'm looking at that, because I think Devontae's got the kind of body he can play for six... He's got a couple more contracts left, right?
Yeah, but I mean, it's also the NFL. Like, a lot of stuff can happen very quickly. So it could be that. It could be just that he doesn't know who's going to be throwing to him. But if I'm going to have a contract at this point in my career where I'm at the top of the league, I want to be the highest paid, especially if I don't know if Aaron Rodgers is going to be there or not. So this could be something to look forward to next week to see what's going on, because he might know something we don't. But either way, there's a lot going on in Green Bay.
Good stuff.
Finally, Damian Lillard denied that he is planning on asking a trade from the Blazers, but he did acknowledge that the team has work to do to become true contenders. And one Blazers executive told The Athletic, "I don't think he wants to leave. He has built an empire here, but we have to assume he is leaving to make sure he is not leaving." You know, I was thinking about this morning.
Empire.
Well, yeah, I don't know about the empire thing. I do think that you establish yourself, and Dame has established himself in that city and with that fan base. And I think he does genuinely want to stay there.
Yeah, I agree.
But you only want to stay somewhere for as long as you want to stay there, until your circumstances change and your desires and goals change. And then that situation may no longer serve you. So it's not really about loyalty to me. I am probably on the other spectrum of this, as you are as well. I don't feel the need to be like extremely loyal to situations that aren't serving me. And I also am perfectly comfortable with change. And so I can move without that. And most great players don't end their careers in the same place. Most don't. So this idea that you have to is very strange to me. It's very old school. Like, it has not updated with the times. But he's 31 years old. So I was thinking, like, you know, Giannis and all this talk about super teams and not leaving and wanting to win in Milwaukee. Damian is further along in his career than Giannis is. Like, Giannis is much younger. He's 26 years old.
Yeah.
He's in a different situation. Now, that's not to say that Portland's a dysfunctional situation.
They're not.
But they have to make a drastic move. And at the end of the day, there's only so many good players on the market. There's only so many moves you can make. And in the West, what would you really have to do to put Portland above a healthy Lakers, above the Jazz, above the Nuggets?
I don't see it. I think they're an NBA quicksand, which is good, not great, solid, not terrible. And so, I mean, again, could they hit a home run in the lottery?
Don't you feel like that's like 2 years away?
Kind of, yeah. I do, because the players are all 19 now.
Yeah.
Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Senior NFL reporter, the Monday morning quarterback, Albert Breer, joining us live, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. So, you know, Brady, we started our show today, Brady talking about, I'm going to get to the COVID thing in a second, but Brady talking about, you know, this team. And I said, listen, I have it confirmed through my just basic reporting that the Chargers wanted him, the Bucks wanted him, and the Niners wanted him. After that, it's a bunch of stuff I read from people that I trust, you know, Colts, Raiders, blah, blah, blah. But the Miami situation is fascinating to me because of Flores, East Coast, warm weather, and they had Ryan Fitzpatrick. So that's kind of fascinating to me that maybe he's talking about Miami. Whenever he says that, some of these teams aren't smart. It feels like it's directed at one or two teams. Give me who you think it's directed at.
I mean, the Niners are the one that kind of sticks there that would probably bother him a little bit because he grew up rooting for them. They obviously were very close to winning a Super Bowl, and the quarterback there is Jimmy Garoppolo. So there's a big part of me that thinks like Brady might have been like that guy who I just, you know, beat out and had to keep beating out over and over and over again.
Yeah.
So Bill Belichick would eventually wind up trading him. That's the guy that you're passing up on me to keep. Like, so I think if you're talking about like where it might have personally dug into Brady and like where the knife might have been twisted a little bit just because of his personal connection to that area and because he was that kid. Like the Dwight Clark clutch, like he was the kid. He was a 5-year-old up in the stands at Candlestick. Like, there's part of me that thinks that would be the team where he would probably feel it most. And I can tell you, when they went through their process, Brady reached out to them, and they have a guy on their staff by the name of Wes Welker, who I know was part of getting word up the flagpole to the people in that organization that Brady wanted to play there. And I know John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan went through a thorough process in vetting Brady. And then they went back and they looked at the tape of Garoppolo again. And they decided to stick with Garoppolo because of where they are from a roster standpoint. And I understand why they did it. But I also totally get why that might have been the one that stung Brady a little bit.
All right. So Davante Adams' story. He's, you know, we got a Davante Adams story. And I naturally connected to Aaron Rodgers. And by the way, forget money. Devontae's fine. He's set for life. Yeah. It, for me, who's my quarterback is one. Money, and you know, again, I would rather have less money and have Aaron Rodgers than more money and have a quarterback I don't trust. So when I hear that Davante Adams story, broken off talks, I connected to Aaron. Do you?
Yeah. I think so. And I think part of the reason why is if you're Davante Adams, you're under contract for this year. And so even if the situation with Aaron Rodgers, they slap a Band-Aid on it and it's good for 2021, what does Davante Adams feel about Aaron Rodgers' long-term future there? Because that's really, if he does an extension, what he's signing up for. And so let's say he has some level of doubt that Aaron Rodgers is going to be there, that there's some feeling that he has, that even if we can Band-Aid it this year, after this year, it's going to come up again and maybe Aaron's somewhere else in 2022. Well, if you're Davante Adams, what can kind of counteract that? The thing that can counteract that, Colin, would be money, right? Like, so if you can't guarantee me that I'm going to be playing with Aaron Rodgers in 2022, 23, 24, the one thing that you can do for me is you can overpay me.
Yeah.
And it's interesting then, because if you look at what he might be asking for, right? DeAndre Hopkins got a contract from the Cardinals that's worth $27 million per year in new money, okay? That contract number is sitting out there. There are only four receivers across the NFL that are even making $20 million a year. So you can certainly see where he looks at DeAndre Hopkins and says, Hopkins was around the same age as me when he signed that deal. He is on his third contract, like I'm on my, I'm going on to my third contract, and you're not guaranteeing me that I'm going to have the right quarterback here down the line. So I'm going to ask for this. And you can certainly see where the Packers would look at that and say, that contract's an outlier. There's, I mean, three guys who are even within $7 million of that deal. I just think the Hopkins contract complicates things the same way. If you remember all those years ago, Calvin Johnson's contract used to complicate receiver deals.
Finally, when the NFL vaccine story came out yesterday, Tom Pelissero, my initial takeaway was, if you mess with billionaires' money, your choices your choices become my rules. And that was my, I mean, that's very simplistic, but that was my takeaway is like, okay, we gave you choices. You made the wrong ones. Now we got new rules. I mean, the NBA, by the way, baseball just decided we're going to start frisking players. Nobody asked for it. The players hated it. This is what leagues do. The NBA at one point created a dress code, told people what they had to wear. This is what leagues do. But that was my simplistic takeaway. Now you're messing with a rich guy's money. Your choices are our new rules. Your thoughts.
Yeah, do not mess with my money is the basic message that billionaires were sending players in this situation. You know, and I think like the right way to look at it, though, and the way the league is going to message this, you know, I think over the next few weeks is the pandemic's not over. COVID-19 is still out there. There are problems in certain parts of the country. So what we're going to do is we're going to leave the protocols that we had last year in place. And every player who was in the league last year knows how difficult that was to have to mask up, to have the limits in the weight room, to have to eat in your car rather than the cafeteria, to have to distance from people constantly, to not be able to leave your house at night. So those same protocols that were so hard on everybody else last year are still in place. What they'll tell you is we're not punishing anybody. We're incentivizing people to get vaccinated. So the guys who aren't vaccinated are saying, well, we're being punished here. No, you're being left in the same protocols that they had last year. And you've got great incentive to get out of that grouping and go get vaccinated. What's really going to be interesting here, Colin, is there is down the line going to be jobs on the line when it comes to this stuff. And if you're a coach and there are two players who are equal, and I'm not saying this is going to happen to a star player, but just say you're the 40th, 45th guy on the roster and a coach is lining you up against somebody else. And one player, the other player, allows you to lift normally, allows you to eat normally, allows you to practice normally, allows you to meet normally, and the other guy doesn't. Which guy are you going with?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's that simple. And they can't say that, but that's what it is.
Listen, this is what employers are doing. This is why employers go onto your Instagram and Snapchat and TikTok, and they look at your personal decisions and choices on your content, and they go, I mean, this is what companies have done my whole life. They're called resumes. We just now call it TikTok and Instagram. They're virtual, you know, they're visual, digital resumes. And you make choices and employers can say, I'm not interested. I am. Albert Breer, always great stuff. Good talking to you, man.
All right. Thanks, Colin.
Well, he's an Ohio State Buckeye. What's he think about that SEC stuff? Oh, my word. Hey, I'll just tell you right now on that. If I was the Big Ten, I'd go after Clemson. Big Ten makes a lot more money than the ACC. If I was the Big Ten today, I'd say, I mean, you already got Maryland in your footprint. Isn't Maryland and Rutgers in the Big Ten? Just move down the Carolina coast a little bit. I'd go get Clemson. I'd go get Notre Dame. I would pay whatever I had. If I was the Big Ten with all that money, I would absolutely today say, Notre Dame, what's the check we got to write to get you here? Notre Dame feels like the Big Ten. I would call Notre Dame today and I would just say, what's the check? We'll write the check. You give us the number. We'll put it in Notre Dame and pull you from the ACC. Well, we'll get sued. We'll pay that too. Big Ten's a bank. Big Ten's got nothing but money. It owns about 15 states in the middle of the country. All right, coming up, I had a list yesterday. I got a lot of provocative list. I didn't think it was, but it got a lot of pushback. I'll address that list coming up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Simply Safe, making people feel safe at home for 15 years. SimplySafeColin.com today. Customize your system and get a free security camera. So I did a list yesterday. I said, starting day one next NBA season, who are the top 10 players in the league? And I consider this to be, you know, productivity, talent, availability, career momentum. And so my list was, for our radio audience, I said, you could certainly argue Durant, but I think Giannis is one because he's more valuable, not only on the offensive end like Durant, but on the defensive end, and he never gets hurt. I mean, we saw his leg go backwards and he missed two games. Giannis 1, Kevin Durant 2, LeBron 3, Steph Curry 4, Luka Doncic 5, Joel Embiid 6, Nikola Jokic of the Nuggets, great player 7, James Harden 8, Damian Lillard, great player 9, and Jason Tatum 10. Now, a lot of this was, well, where's Kawhi? Where's AD? No, I chose Jason Tatum, who misses on average 3 games a year. Who in 4 straight years, and he's already an A player. He's not A plus, yes, but he's an A. Points, rebounds, assists, all have gone up 4 straight years. The Celtics have had their issues. It hasn't worked like they thought. He is an ascending A player who never misses a game and led the NBA in fourth quarter scoring. And you want me to not have Jason Tatum on the list? Coachable, ascending, getting better, and available. With Kawhi and Anthony Davis, it's been established. I can't trust them to be available to play. I mean, Anthony Davis doesn't want to play a center, even though God gave him a center's body. He doesn't want to play it. He's not, I mean, this has been sourced multiple times by me in the organization. He's not totally committed. He came into the season playing himself in shape. He's increasingly hurt. It's getting worse, not better. And this year, when AD did play, he had a career low in blocks, rebounds, and field goals, and the third lowest points of his career. That's playing with a guy who's pretty good, LeBron, who makes everybody better. He wasn't great. So, do I think he's a top 10 talent? Absolutely. He's probably top 5. Do I think Kawhi's a top 10 talent? I think he's top 5. But this is what, like, separates Giannis from Kevin Durant. Durant's a greater natural talent than Giannis. But Giannis is better on the defensive end than anybody in the league. He can guard every position, including Chris Paul. You know, LeBron, in his peak, shut down Derrick Rose. Remember that? MVP Derrick Rose, playoff series. LeBron, a 6'9 power forward, shut down lightning quick Derrick Rose. LeBron could defend all 5, but mostly 4 positions on the floor. So that's why I put Giannis 1. I don't think I'm living in the moment. I think in terms of, and I do think the Phoenix series really was we all thought he was good, but we had our doubts, and he ended the doubts. It's like I always say, you're married until you're not. You know what I mean? You're good until you're not. You're great. Like Giannis was very, very good, and this and that and this and that, and then he won and dominated Phoenix, and okay, he's great. He's the best guy in the league. So it's nothing against Kawhi, but availability. I mean, I've worked with people. Joy is somebody who comes in sick, travels to Guatemala every other weekend. Somehow is, I don't know, she's literally on planes socializing in Miami, and she's a travel schedule that would have me resting. I mean, I would literally be resting. Joy just works through sick. We all try to on this staff, and I've worked with people who don't. They're always sick. They're never there. They're never dependable. Folks, It's why Eli Manning, we talk about this all the time. Forget the fact that Eli Manning beat Brady and Belichick in the Super Bowl. There is value in Brett Favre and Eli Manning. This counts. It's like 10 to 15% of it. They were always available. They were never hurt. Like, it's a thing. Like, nobody is talking about this. Kevin Durant's insanely talented, but he has not been as physically trustable as LeBron. That's why I put LeBron 1 and Durant 2 in the previous 10 years. Kawhi and AD. One of them doesn't talk and is always hurt, and one of them does talk, not overly committed, always hurt. What do you want me to do? This is a referendum on what Jason Tatum. I'm not leaving Jason Tatum out of my top 10 list. He's already averaging 26.5. This year he probably goes to 27.5. 8 assists or 8 rebounds, 5 assists every single night. Best scorer in the league in the fourth. He's a top 10 player.
Availability is a skill.
It's something.
It doesn't necessarily mean that you are not somebody who takes care of their body. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. But if you're not available, it doesn't matter how great you are, you can't do anything. It takes you down a notch.
Nobody's saying it's 50% of it. Nobody's saying it's 70% of it. But it's 10 to 15% of Favre was always there, and Eli was always there, and Brady's always there. Russell Wilson, always there. Jason Tatum, always there. Hour two next.